Awaken, wrestling fans. It is Monday, June 23rd, and we just finished watching this week's edition of WWE Monday Night Raw. And it is time for us to gather afterwards, like we do here on Mega Powers Radio, for our post-Raw show, where it is the most interactive post-Raw experience you're going to find out there. We're not just going to stream little Twitter ticks across the screen. No, we're going to invite you to call in. We're going to have the chat room rolling. Lots of ways to get your opinions out there. Actually, we already have a couple callers on the line. Ask you to be patient while we get things rolling here, and we will get you on as soon as we can. Introducing the panelists that we have here this evening, I am Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. Everyone else here, first off, Mr. Steven Huego, host of Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio and Unanimous Decision MMA. Steven, welcome to the show.
Yo.
Also with us, the president of SmartGoutMoment.com and the host of Smack Talk, Tony Mango.
I'm a much better president than Putin. I don't care what Rusev says.
And I apologize. We're having tremendous problems with Skype and BTR tonight. Drew, are you with us yet? No, he's not.
I believe he's still connecting.
Okay, so we are not Drew White verified.
We're not Drew White verified. But what we are is live on Mega Powers Radio. And if you want to get yourself involved as well, feel free to dial in, get yourself in line, area code 760-512-7247, and also the chat room is on the broadcast page. And if you don't have a cell phone you want to use, you just don't want to pay long distance, or you don't have long distance, whatever it may be, you can also join us via Skype by pressing the Skype icon at the top of the page. So, gentlemen, interesting Raw we had tonight. It was our go-home show to Money in the Bank. I want to go around like I do at the beginning of the show and ask you guys what the number one thing you took away from the show tonight was. Tony, why don't you start us off?
I'm going to repeat the same thing that I said last week. When WWE puts the effort into things and they know what they're doing, damn, is it a good show.
Wago?
This was just a very good show. A lot of good wrestling tonight, and that's what the main thing I took away from it. And it did a good job of selling the pay-per-view.
Right. For me, I have to say Money in the Bank up until about last week has seemed like a pay-per-view I was not going to be too excited for. I mean, thank goodness it's on the network where I've already paid for it anyway. So I was going to watch it. But if this was still in the olden days, it was not motivating me to have spent that $40, $50 to pick up that pay-per-view. But I think this week they did it. This edition of the second Money in the Bank match, tremendous. The way they've built up all the contenders in the heavyweight title Money in the Bank matchup, it's got me more excited for that match as well. I'm definitely intrigued. I believe we got him with us now, though. Mr. Drew White, leader of the Drew Crew. What's up, dude?
Hey, how's everyone doing out there?
Drew, what's the number one thing you took away from the show tonight?
That Vicky Guerrero looks weird with mud on her, whatever it was.
What, weird, good, or bad?
I don't know. Good, bad, ugly, I don't know. We'll have to wait to see.
See what you did there?
Indeed. So, why don't we just go ahead and start at the top of the show. We had Stephanie McMahon calling out Vicky Guerrero, making her get down on her knees and beg for her job. This is old-fashioned McMahon trotting out someone and just making an ass of them. Poor Vicky actually gained the sympathy of the audience through this segment. They started cheering for her, especially when she talked about how Eddie taught her one thing. It was how to lie, cheat, and steal. Stephanie tells Vicky that they are going to have a match later on that night. We're just left thinking it's a match. However, when they actually do come out, we find that it's going to be a mud bath match, a shit bath match, whatever the hell it is.
S'mores party?
I don't even know. I was at B-Dubs. I couldn't even hear it. I just looked down and I looked up and I saw a pool with Vicky like being carried to. I was like, oh my god, this is going to be terrible.
Pool full of TNA.
Well, Stephanie invites out a few other of the heel divas to come out and try to throw Vicky into it. They had Alicia Fox. They had Layla. They had Rosa Mendez, who's got a new theme song, by the way. They didn't even get to play it, so a lot of that was worth.
Woo!
They try to throw Vicky in, but Vicky actually fights back, gets the three of them in. However, while she was distracted celebrating that small victory, Stephanie McMahon came up from behind, threw Vicky into the pool, causing Vicky to unfortunately be fired from the company. In a way, Vicky gets the last laugh. She shoves Stephanie in, but that's the end after quite a tenured career that Vicky Guerrero has had over, what has it been, 7, 8? Years at least?
They mentioned nine. Ever since Eddie died, they mentioned nine.
Okay, well,
on the thing.
She didn't really come until like a couple years after.
Yeah,
but
true to that.
She has had a fantastic career. This woman who had no real experience in the wrestling business, she came from a family with it, of course, but her husband was a wrestler and she did the stay-at-home mom stuff. She stepped up. She went into this world that she had no idea what it was. I think did a tremendous job creating this character and got so much heat. I think she was probably the hottest heel throughout like the 2010, 2011 years. And big applause for her for being able to pull that off. She's been a manager. She's been the GM. She's been an office assistant. She's done. Was she a champion at one point?
No.
Or she was Miss WrestleMania.
She was? That was Santina, wasn't it?
I think she got it one of the other years. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I don't know. She was like,
I think Santino had to put it in a match against Vicky and Vicky won it.
I don't know. Either way, she's done quite a bit for somebody who has no experience whatsoever in wrestling.
Absolutely. So I want you guys to talk about how Vicky got sent off and maybe any Vicky memories you want to add. Drew, why don't you start us off?
the first Vicky memory I just remember was like the whole feud with Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero back in 2005. I think that was the first time I really remember her being in front of the camera. But yeah, you know, I didn't really get to see her as much when you were talking about her, like most likely the most over heel one might say when it comes to getting booed in 2010. So I really didn't watch it at the time. But yeah, you know, she was very good. The one thing she did that she did get to catch on was the excuse me thing. And I thought it was a little weird that people were cheering for her tonight, but hey, you know, this was her final send-off for her, at least on in front of the camera kind of stuff, then yeah, I thought it was good for what it was.
Wago, what about you, man? How are you feeling about Vicky's send-off?
It was a classy way to put Vicky over in an unclassy way.
I was going to say classy. There's nothing classy about this.
I think it's classy that they gave her the rub when they could have just like said, okay, she's gone, bye. But okay, they gave her a great send-off.
They could have done it last week when she got vomited all over. So it is definitely a better situation than that.
I thought it was very awesome on their part to do what they did after all this time. Because they've humiliated Vicky on so many occasions. I think it was fitting that she got fucked over and then got her revenge in the end before she went off. And I actually I thought I was going to shit all over this stuff, but I actually liked it. So, segment was a lot of fun. And anytime you get to see a McMahon embarrassed, it's always a good thing. But as far as my favorite Vicky moment goes, it has to go back to her work with Edge. I thought it was some of the highlights of SmackDown. And when they were finally breaking up and they was having all this friction, back when Edge was doing the whole Joker thing where she shoved her out the chair and screaming in her face, and then she was like, oh, I forgive you, but you're going against The Undertaker in Hell in a Cell. All that type of stuff that they had with each other was awesome, and it was one of my favorite feuds during Edge's time as the big heel on SmackDown.
Very true. Drew, why don't you follow up on that? What'd you think about Vicky's send-off tonight and any favorite moments from Vicky's?
Well, if you didn't hear me the first time, I guess I could tell you the second time.
Oh, did I already go to you?
Yeah.
Tony, did I miss you?
Yes, you did.
Okay, Tony, you're next.
All right. I think that this was amazing. Vicky is one of those characters that is annoying as hell, and I got tired of the character, and it just didn't do it as much for me. I don't think a lot of the humor is as funny as WWE does and all that, but this was so perfect because not only did they do something that they've been doing for years with the whole humiliation thing and not have to do her screaming, which has been my least favorite thing about the character, but they stayed true to that and at the same time managed to turn her babyface. The best part about this whole thing was the fact that the crowd got into it immediately and they just went along for the ride. There wasn't the smarky, I'm going to go against what I'm supposed to do kind of mentality where they just cheer the fact that Vicky's thrown into the thing and fired. When they're trying to do the na-na-na-na, people are joining in, some people aren't.
Here's the thing, Tony. Were they cheering Vicky or were they cheering the spirit of Eddie Guerrero?
They might have been cheering both. I don't know.
Wasn't he signed to TNA, though?
It might have been. But what I loved about this was the fact that they were able to get into it from that perspective. And she gets a good send-off. She not only gets to, you know, pay homage to Eddie and the fact that that's why she's here to begin with, but she gets a send-off as a babyface despite being a heel for her entire span of a WWE career. So that's the best way to go. I mean, unless you're the heel that leaves because you might come back or something like that, leaving as a babyface is the best way to go. And I would be perfectly fine with never seeing Vicky Guerrero again because of how well this send-off ended up being. As far as a highlight for her career, I got to go with this.
Wow.
I really think that this was done very well. Classic WWE Attitude Era hijinks. Stephanie sold her part perfectly. She looked banging in the fucking dress, too, by the way. The heels are, you know, kind of worthless right now. So, of course, they got their asses handed to them. They looked stupid. The referees got involved. If I was a kid, I would have eaten this shit up. And I still did, even at 26, 27 and a half an hour.
And we got another member joining us on the panel tonight from the Untitled Movie Show. I keep fucking up. Untitled Movie Show, correct?
You'll get it eventually. It's all right. It took me a while to even promote my own show. So.
And also a longtime member of the Smack Talk and Raw Post Show cast, Mr. Miguel Leon.
I wouldn't say longest. There was a good stretch where I wasn't able to do the show, but that's neither here nor
there. I'm not saying longest. I'm just saying long time. You've been in the crew for at least a year now.
It's been such a long time.
Take a compliment.
Yeah, come on.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Us to call you the things that we call you off air? We could do that.
No. Trust me. If you called me the stuff that you called me off air, we'd lose half of our demographic.
Okay, another half.
Yeah. In terms of what we're talking about, in terms of the whole Vicky thing, I'm going to be upfront. I've never been a fan of Vicky Guerrero. I think that her heat was cheap heat. You know, I think they played off of the fact that it just never felt genuine. Like, it wasn't – I never booed her because I thought what she was saying had any substance to it or I thought her work was good. I booed her because I just did not want to see her on my screen. It was that kind of heat. So I never bought into this whole thing that she was a great manager or that she was a great character. Yeah, she got heat, but it was cheap heat. It's like if you have a heel foreigner come out and start like disrespecting the American flag. Hello, Lana and Rusev. It's that kind of thing. So I was never a big fan of hers. In terms of this segment, of this segment tonight, I'm middle ground with it. It could have been a lot worse. When it first started, I thought it was one of those Vince McMahon indulgent type segments where it's just going to be made for him to make fun of somebody else. We get those all the time. So I was a little bit angry going in, but it tied itself up well enough. She got a nice little pop at the end. It was really cool to hear the Eddie Guerrero theme song after 9 years. It's been a while since we've heard that. So I popped for that, but it is what it is. I'm neither angry nor, happy about it. It was a segment. It could have been worse, but it was okay.
Could have done without a soaking wet Vicky shimmying.
Oh, that was disturbing. She should never shimmy like that again. Stephanie, though, she could do that. I don't care.
Well, speaking of things that could have been, I want to give a shout out to Stephen Hatch. I remember seeing a tweet he had posted earlier that was something like, I'm just throwing it out there. If Stephanie McMahon wanted me to join her Kiss My Ass clubs, I'd gladly do it. Something along those lines. No doubt. No doubt indeed. So we're going to open up the phone lines, get your thoughts about what's happened tonight, the Vicky Guerrero situation, the participants being announced for Money in the Bank, whatever else is on your mind. So if you want to get yourself in line, dial in area code 760-512-7247 or press the little Skype icon at the top of the broadcast page. We also have the chat room open. JT77, Mr. Juego holding things down. Got a few guests in there. Why don't you register yourselves and join the chat room? You know, have a little more fun with the other people on there. Two conversations going on at once. Makes things go crazy here. But let's bring on our first caller from the 412 area code. Good friend of the show, Mr. JD. What's shaking, JD?
JD.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight, guys?
Oh, we're all tremendous, man. Happy to be here talking about the show tonight. Just recalling some of our Vicky memories. What'd you think about what went down with Vicky?
Well, I'm not a Vicky fan either, but you know what? It was nice to see Vicky go out on her terms, however, and it was nice to see Stephanie be stuck in the mud after what Stephanie insulted her at the beginning of the show, however, and got the cheap heat, however. So Stephanie got what she deserved once again, however, in more ways than one. But getting to the show tonight, I mean, this was absolutely a train wreck of a show. This was absolutely, in my opinion, a very, very horrid show, to say the least. The booking was bad from the beginning. There was only two good matches the whole night. I mean, it was pretty much the same thing we saw on SmackDown, however, except for a few quirks, however, and twists and turns, however. I mean, I'll be going to SmackDown tomorrow night, however, here in Pittsburgh, however, and even though it's supposed to rain tomorrow, however, I plan on still going anyway. I don't care. But, no, I mean, the sad part is, however, they have four matches already lined up for Money in the Bank, however, and they could have had at least two more listed, however. It's just, right now, I think WWE better hope that Money in the Bank, however, and their network really gets a lot of buys, because right now, I think, as we've said for weeks on end, they just continue to just do horrid in the pay-per-view business. I mean, this is usually not the time to go really in the tank, however. I mean, yeah, I understand you have your four basic shows, the Rumbles, the SummerSlams, the Manias, the Survivor Series, whatnot, but I mean, this is just dreadful to go in the Money in the Bank when you have only four matches listed, and right now, the only match that everyone cares about, obviously, however, is, like, the big one, the supposed eight-sided match now, according to Hunter, after tonight. So, yeah, they're in big trouble heading into this, and I just heard this, I don't know if you guys heard this or not, however, but there was a rumor going around that next week in Montreal that Bret the Hitman Hart will be in Montreal. There was a rumor going around right now, and I just heard this a few minutes ago, right before you guys went on the air, and there is talk that Bret Hart might be in Montreal next week, so I imagine maybe we'll see something in the lines of Bret Hart maybe standing up to the authority, possibly, but you never know.
JD Scoops laying it down.
That would be fantastic, but I have a feeling at the most we'll just see him like escorting out Natalya for a match or something.
Yeah, maybe, but at the same time, we might see him maybe stand up to Hunter and Stephanie, tell him, you know what, Howard, you've been running roughshod all these people, maybe stand up with Daniel Bryan for once, you know? Maybe he'll do something along those lines.
I would love that, and you know what? There is an open position of GM.
That's going to me.
Oh, okay, good luck with that, Drew.
Thanks.
So, what did you think about the rest of our participants announced for this second Money in the Bank matchup?
Well, I mean, you got Kofi in there, you got RVD, Bad News Barrett, I mean, Dean Ambrose. I mean, if there's two guys that could win it, and Seth Rollins, I mean, you look at all those people, I mean, some of these people do have a chance. I mean, right now, obviously, you got to look at Seth Rollins maybe as an early favorite, but at the same time, I'm looking at someone like maybe possibly Bad News Barrett pulling it off. I mean, Kofi, yeah, he'll fly, and he has those great spots. RVD, I mean, this isn't 2006 anymore. I mean, he hasn't done much since he came back, so I think if it was elimination rules, however, I think he'd be out early. I mean, right now, if there's one guy that could really steal the show in this match, it is possibly Dean Ambrose or Seth Rollins, but I think they're saving that for Battleground with those two, and I think Bad News Barrett's going to take it on Sunday in Boston. I really do.
I would absolutely love that, and I think it would be a surprise for most people, considering he's already Intercontinental Champion. Why would people think he's getting something extra? And because this whole thing going on with Seth Rollins is so hot, I would love to see a Bad News. What do you guys think about that Bad News Barrett taking it?
I mean, they did it with The Miz when he had the U.S. Championship, so I think I'll always do it again.
Very true. Very true.
Yep. And the guys that, and like I said, some of the guys that, like I said, got in there, like I said, like a Ziggler. I mean, I'm sorry, Ziggler must have some serious heat with The Office right now, because really, he hasn't done anything for a while. I mean, just they continue to shit on him, even though he had a pretty good match tonight with Barrett, however. I mean, it just seems like they're really keeping him in the dark. A guy who just doesn't even deserve to be in it. Like, I mean, as much as, I mean, I'm a Van Damme guy through and through, but one guy who I don't think deserves to be even in, Jack Swagger. Really? Come on. The guy hasn't done shit in 6 months.
He's
I'm
a former Money in the Bank winner.
Yeah, but whoopty freaky do. He has Zeb Coulter and his immigration laws. He hasn't done anything with that. I mean, if he wants to just stand up for the immigration laws, why don't you just confront Rusev and get squashed by Rusev? And speaking of Rusev, I mean, come on, tonight, really? Stand in front of the Capitol building with his little ravishing little commie girlfriend, Lana, and just insulting American? Yeah, that'll just get over with you there more and more, Vinnie Mac. Way to go, buddy. Real great, but no, like I said, I think Money in the Bank, I mean, except for like maybe one good match, this show is just an absolute nightmare on paper. I mean, the lineup is not that strong at all, and they better hope that they get some good buys on Sunday.
Well, what's your plans? You usually go to a local bar establishment to watch, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So you'll probably have a fun time.
Yeah, there's a $5 car, which is nice. The only one I'm going to miss this year is SummerSlam. I'm going to be on vacation with my family, but I will be watching Raw the next night and call you guys while I'm away on vacation, of course, to check in with you guys. But that's usually the one I miss every year, usually. But, I mean, Battleground is, I mean, they're a month away from Battleground. I mean, I still think the main, I mean, one with the eight guys in charge are, I think the guy who is going to win it on Sunday, if it's not Reigns, it's definitely going to be Cesaro. No question about it. I think they're pushing more and more of the Cesaro-Brock Lesnar match than ever before.
That would be another tremendous thing. And I'm just going to throw it out there. They're both on my Wrestling Fantasy League team, so I would be super ecstatic for both of those victories. But, JD,
yes.
I don't think there's anything else noteworthy on Raw tonight. Is there anything else you wanted to throw out there before we do the high point, low point?
No, let's get into the high point, low point. The high point of the night, however, I would have to say, there was two good matches tonight. The Seth, the RVD match went 10 minutes. It was pretty good. The Bad News Baird, Ziggler match was pretty good, too. The low point of the night, however, I would have to say, was the whole thing involving Damian Sandow, Big E Langston. I mean, really, you talk about a guy who's fallen off way off the ladder. I mean, Damian Sandow continues just to be put into these stupid comedy situations week after week. He comes out as Honest Abe tonight. What happens? Oh, that's right. He gets squashed in a minute. I mean, most of these matches tonight, except for the two matches I mentioned earlier, they were like warm-up house show matches or Sunday Night Heat type matches. I mean, not one match went past 10 minutes until maybe midway through the second hour. So they did a very bad book show tonight in Washington, D.C., and I'm just appalled that fans were there to see not a great show, but a fair show at best. And like I said, I'll be there tomorrow night, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens this time in Pittsburgh, because the last time, if you remember, when they were here in Pittsburgh for the Rumble, the fans gave them shit.
Oh, yes.
This time, they better hope they tell SmackDown in a big way Friday night, because if they don't, they're in big trouble heading into Sunday.
If I saw the advertisements correctly, Daniel Bryan's supposed to be in the house, isn't he?
I've heard rumblings on the radio today, yeah, that there was some talk about it, and he is supposed to be there actually Sunday, too, on the pre-show at Money in the Bank. If he's not there tomorrow, he will definitely be there at the pre-show on Sunday at Boston. They were talking about it tonight in D.C., I remember. But it would be nice to see him make an appearance on the Jumbotron and let everyone know how he's doing. But the big match that everyone's talking about tomorrow night is RVD, Ambrose, and Reigns versus Orton, Wyatt, and, of course, Cesaro. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night, obviously, on SmackDown.
All right, well, we'll talk to you on the other side of that in Money in the Bank next week, JD. Have a great night and have an awesome time next night.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later. See ya.
All right, another tremendous call from JD. Anyone out there who wants to call and give your opinions about tonight's show and the current Money in the Bank situation, dial in area code 760-512-7247 or click the little Skype icon at the top of the page. Chat room's heating up a little bit more. Got a few more people in there. Shout out to Creepers on the Radars joining us. And our own Drusev White is in there as well. We got two representatives in there.
Hey.
Woo, holla. All right, coming back to you guys. The other big thing that we had tonight is the filling out of our second Money in the Bank matchup, which is going to be for the traditional Money in the Bank briefcase. Super glad that they added that in. It would have felt a little empty going over the next year if we didn't have another one. I'm not a huge fan of the briefcase design. I mean, I'm glad it's not the candy red or candy blue, but now it's just candy caramel, and it's not much better. If it actually had like a sparkly gold, I might like it a little bit more, like a gold dust gold paint job. Would have dug
or a
more.
Stardust gold.
Yeah. You beat me to it. I was going to say a big star on the back.
But the announcement was great. Triple H comes out. He hypes the crowd up. He puts up these big pictures on the Tron. We learn it's Kofi Kingston, Jack Swagger, Dolph Ziggler, Rob Van Dam, Bad News Barrett, and of course Seth Rollins was announced this past Friday on SmackDown. And eventually through a series of events tonight, Dean Ambrose was put in at the request of Seth Rollins because he says that's where I can keep an eye on him. But sure, okay, why not? But that's our matchup. Pretty good lineup, I gotta say. I mean, if there was a weak point in there, I would definitely say it's Swagger. He is kind of an odd man out. Rob Van Dam is not what he used to be, but you know what? He could probably still go out there and put on a few awesome moves. Same with Kofi Kingston and Ziggler as well. So I am looking forward to this. And I'm gonna back JD up. I am gonna be rooting for a Bad News Barrett victory. Not just because he's on my team, but because I am totally digging how he has evolved throughout the years, what the character that he has defined as now. A lot of people said that this character wouldn't have legs and it wasn't going to be able to work its way up. I disagree. I've always loved this character, and I am so happy to see it working its way up. And you know what? It's not like they're giving it this super hard push where he's winning every single match he goes out there. He's been fallible. He's lost a number of matches over the last few weeks, but he's won a lot too, and winning more than losing and still looking strong in every single match. They're doing the perfect job with the rise of Bad News Barrett. So that's going to be my prediction for that. Go around and get your guys' thoughts on that. Miguel, why don't you start us off?
This is definitely going to be the grinders match of the show. This is going to be the matchup that's going to give us all the big high-flying spots, all the big crazy moves, things like that you come to expect from a ladder match like this. Usually when you have a Money in the Bank matchup, it's usually a good mixture of, you know, big name stars that aren't known for their high flying moves and the guys out there that you can count on to get the big spots. But it seems like all their big stars are in the WWE title matchup, Money in the Bank. So this is where you put everybody else. I had a feeling this was going to be the case. I figured most, if not all, the guys that lost their qualifiers were going to get a shot into this matchup, and I'm, for the most part, not wrong. I think this has the potential to steal the show. I really do. I think you're going to see a lot of great spots up here. I mean, like they said before, guys like Kofi and Ziggler are just great for stuff like that. RVD can still pull a few great spots here and there out. Rollins and Ambrose are great no matter what they do. And you know, you got Swagger and Barrett there to kind of keep things on the ground if you have to. So it's very balanced, and I'm really looking forward to this. In terms of who's going to win, I don't know if we're going to go more in depth on that or if we're going to save that for the Smack Talk later in the week, but I think the fix is in on Seth Rollins. I'm just going to say that right now.
All right, Tony, why don't you follow that one up?
One of the things I really liked about this whole segment was just Triple H's promo. There was a lot of parts in there that I really liked. He referenced the talent of Dolph Ziggler, which is nice to hear, even if he doesn't, you know, necessarily get a push out of it. He loves doing that Bad News Barrett impression, which is fucking funny. Fine. That he's like, Roy, like he's turning into an Australian or something.
What, Mike?
Right, yeah, shrimp on the Bobby. Like, totally not the right country, but, you know, who fucking cares? It's so funny. I loved his RVD joke of, the person who's going to win this is Rob Van. Oh, I can't say that with a straight face.
To be fair, though, he did get him back by bringing up Survivor Series.
Yeah, but still, that was so funny. That was just kind of like, yeah, Rob Van Dam, you can win this. Like, instead of taking a shot at, you know, like Kofi Kingston or something like that. It was nice to see that because I don't like RVD. I like what they're doing here. I like how they're not only building Seth Rollins up as the possible winner, but they're throwing Ambrose in there. And for the record, too, Ambrose, his little promo with the microphone tossing around, I like that too. I've been digging him on the mic a lot lately. Rollins has really stepped up a lot lately, and he's going to carry this match, and the match is going to be fantastic. I'll break that down on Smack Talk, but the whole setup to this, maybe it wasn't as good as they could have made it with, you know, setting up qualifiers or something like that, but for this kind of thing, you don't really necessarily need it. You've got enough going on with Rollins and Ambrose that on this episode of Raw, you could just get it out of the way. RVD's in the match, Jack Swagger, etc. Let's move on to the real story, which is Ambrose and Rollins. So I think that's fantastic. I'm really looking forward to this match.
Mr. Juego, what do you think about all these guys in there? I know you're a huge RVD fan.
I am a big Rob Van Dam fan, and I think Triple H really meant it. He was just trolling you all. He'd swerve, he's going to win it. Man, first thing that came to my mind was, what the fuck are they going to fill the rest of the card with? Jesus Christ, like, there's four matches on Money in the Bank. I don't know what else they're going to do, a Bo Dallas match and a Rusev match?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know they're going to throw in two, you know, last-minute on-the-pay-per-view matches. They always do.
As far as the Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose stuff, I'm loving it. It's kind of basically the beginning of their feud, and the other guys are just in it just to fill up the space in the match. And I'm looking forward to seeing who comes out the winner in that. I'm hoping it's Seth Rollins and they continue the feud with Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. I think the match is going to be fantastic. And hats off to Rob Van Dam and Seth Rollins for having a fun little match. So, yeah, in all, I enjoyed it, and I'm loving the evolution of Dean Ambrose's character. He's got this loose cannon thing totally down, and after months of me starting to be down on him, he's won me right back over.
Yeah, Dean Ambrose, definitely not going to be the odd man out going forward. I don't think any of them are going to be, and that was the best situation we could have hoped for with the Shield. All three of them are looking phenomenal going into this first pay-per-view where they're split up. That's great. But Drew, why don't you finish us up on this?
Yeah, this should be a good Money in the Bank. It should be better than the All-Star one, kind of like how it was last year. The one with the lesser-known names was the better one of the two. I think it's going to be the same this year. I mean, most of the people, I think, actually, most of these guys were in that Money in the Bank match last year. I mean, so I know Swagger, and I know Dean, and I think Seth was as well. So I know at least they were in it or something like that. Maybe it was just Dean. But, yeah, this should be a good Money in the Bank match. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, with that, we are going to be opening up the phone lines once again. We got a caller from the 732 area code. Caller from 732, you're live on the Raw Post Show. What's your name and where you're calling from? I'm sorry, can you say that again?
It's me, Jeff.
Oh, hey, Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Not much.
All right. Well, getting
back. I do agree that RVD sucks.
let's go back.
Not the worst trolling call, but I'll give it a 4 out of 10.
All right. We got a caller from the 407 area code. Caller from 407, you're live on the Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
What up, Hayden? This is Robert from Orlando, Florida.
Oh my gosh, it's a legit caller. I'm sorry. I was thinking it was just Drew calling from another phone. What's up, Robert? Welcome to the show again, dude. Good to have you back on. How you doing?
What happened? I just got back from the gym, so I had no idea what was going on.
Oh, freaking Drew was being Drew, and he called
in. No. I didn't call in. No one was answering, so I just started talking. He talked at the end. I just was talking as Jeff Koop just to talk as Jeff Koop.
Excuses.
God damn it, Drew. You should just, fuck off. Oh, that's not even a
guys, you're being rude to our caller.
Fuck, he's not even a phone number from where I'm near.
Rob, what's going on, man? What'd you think about Raw tonight?
I honestly was I was kind of in the middle ground for Raw tonight, and I kind of left before the main event to the gym because I was like, oh, I gotta get to the gym, gotta get ready for
gotta
the wedding.
Gotta get your pump on.
Girls,
exactly,
girls?
Man. And I didn't know, like, how was the main event?
Better than I would have expected. I got to say, I thought this was just gonna be a slap together. You know, all these guys are heels and all these guys are baby faces, so let's put them in a match against each other. But everyone actually had a little bit of a time to shine. They got all their shit in, to piss off Wago with that idiom. And Roman Reigns, I think, was the guy who ended up looking like the biggest star. So it was far, far better than I would have expected out of a Raw main event.
Okay, cool. I'll definitely check it out when I get home and then before I go to bed. But awesome, man. But yeah, pretty much the rest of the Raw tonight. I mean, I know that you guys have to record Smack Talk tonight, is that correct?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a doubleheader tonight. It's going to be lots of fun.
Oh, are we?
Fuck.
Nice. Yeah, nice. I didn't want to make a long call at all, but I just wanted to say, I enjoyed Raw. I was going to give you my high point and low point anyways, really quick, because I don't want to take too much of your time.
Well, you're always welcome to take as much time as you want, man. But go ahead.
I appreciate that. But the high point was definitely the Dolph Ziggler and Wade Barrett match. I enjoyed that big time, especially the ending was I believed it.
Okay. And your low point?
Low point, I would have to say, I mean, my low point and my ugly point would definitely have to be the Wyatt Brothers entrance theme. I was like, that harmonica was way too pitchy. That was just like, it annoys me like big time. And it was just kind of awkward when it just came in. I didn't enjoy it at all. Like,
it was different. We'll be getting more into that a little bit later. I'm a bit more of a musician, and so should you. Aren't you like an awesome piano man or something?
I am. I am, and I grew up with that song. I grew up with that song in church, so it's like, you know, I've heard. I had more of a nicer tone growing up to it, but when I heard like kind of a piercing harmonica, I was like, my ear was kind of like. It was kind of hurting me, but...
Are you excited for Money in the Bank?
I'm sorry?
Are you excited for Money in the Bank?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm really excited for Money in the Bank. I don't know what to expect. I don't know who to guess, and I know that it's kind of like we think that the whoever gets the briefcase is going to be the number one contender. They're just kind of the any time contender, mm-hmm. and it doesn't necessarily have to match up with whoever wins the title tonight that night. But I have no guesses, and I'm just gonna I'm just gonna enjoy it and just be surprised at who wins in the end.
I like that. Just enjoying it as a fan. You don't need to get all freaking technical about it. That's something we get lost because we're quote unquote journalists and broadcasts, and a lot of times we get caught up trying to figure these things out. But most of the time, I just want to sit back and just enjoy the show, and that's always the time when I can enjoy it most. Because once you start criticizing every little detail, you're gonna find all these holes, and you're gonna hate it.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, and that's kind of like where I was as well too with Payback. I was really critical with what was going on, and I was like, man, I did not enjoy that show at all.
Mm-hmm.
But
One last thing I want to get your opinion about. Vicky Guerrero, she lost her job with the company tonight, and after a number of years at the company, what did you think about her? What do you think about her leaving?
I appreciate you for bringing that up. That was kind of like my honorable mention because I thought that last week she was leaving, and I was like, you're going to leave on a note with vomit, and I was like, and then she's going to have a match with Stephanie. I was like, okay, that's not bad to leave on a note with that. And then if they introduced the pool of mud, and I was like, I guess she really wanted to go with it anyways. And honestly, I think she made it fun, and I'm glad that she also. I mean, it did give me chills, like what JBL said, that when the Eddie Guerrero music was playing, I was like, oh, that's so awesome. And, I think that she enjoyed her time, her 9 years in the WWE, and leaving on pretty much on a high point of pushing her boss into the pool of mud as well, too. So I was like, yay, that's cool.
How soon did you say your wedding was? You said it's in a week?
No, my wedding's in November 2, and I'm getting ready for that. I'm in a competition with my fiance's maid of honor. She's actually getting married in a couple months, and what's on the line is whoever loses the most weight combined, we have to buy each other Disney tickets. And I was like, huh, I don't want to buy Disney tickets.
That's expensive as fuck. You need to start getting to the gym more.
Yeah, you too. But that's great. That's a great motivator.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, you know, I'm like, you know, main event or my main event. Okay, I gotta get to the gym for my main event, and I'm looking forward to that big time. I can't wait to marry my future wife. So.
And that's a beautiful story. Also, that her maid of honor, which I'm assuming is one of her best friends, if not her absolute best friend, are getting married together, and you guys are doing this big thing with each other, and you're gonna do this shared trip with each other too. From what it sounds like, that's awesome.
Are you gonna do a Triple H and Stephanie McMahon wedding style?
Oh, I hope not. We're not gonna. I hope that nobody else steals my fiance and takes her to a drive-thru. That'd be pretty awful.
No, I think it's gonna be a swerve. It's gonna end up that he's actually gonna be marrying the person that her maid of honor is marrying, and it's gonna be a Billy and Chuck style wedding. joke aborted. Anyway, Robert, it's really awesome to hear from you, bro, and congratulations. I'm sure we'll talk to you at least one or two more times before the date, but you keep kicking ass, man. We're rooting for you to do awesome there, and yeah, awesome to hear from you again. Piano man.
Piano man.
I appreciate that. The other main reason why I also called too is I just want to say happy belated anniversary to you guys. I just listened to the anniversary show today, and I mean, quite honestly, man, all the podcasts I get to, I have to drive an hour to work, and I appreciate you guys for the entertainment on the way. If I'm falling asleep, I'm like, man, thank goodness for Sean's drunkenness, Drew's random fireworks, Wikipedia, Peyton Cara, and Teddy Mango. So I appreciate you guys big time,
and we appreciate you as a fan and supporting all this stuff. What did you think about the roast of Tony Mango?
I thought that was awesome. I was like, how are you going to say something bad about Tony? And I was like, that's really hard. And I don't think anyone could say anything bad. I mean, and honestly, I don't even know why you guys would say anything bad about each other. But it was entertaining to listen to it. But I feel like it was not even a roast on Tony Mango. It was a toast on everybody else. A roast on everybody else.
yeah, it is tough to find stuff on Tony. That's why we had to really dig down and find like the Model Mayhem profile. Got lots of good
just
material.
Just go lean back in my chair because I'm invincible.
Wait, you say
is
you
that,
want to make fun
though?
Of it? Yeah.
Oh,
I gotta check that out. That's hilarious.
All right, Rob. Thanks so much for calling in, man. Awesome to hear from you. Always call in whenever you're free. You're always welcome here.
I appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Take care, dude. All right, we're going to keep the phone lines open. We got two more callers in the line we're going to bring on. Appreciate y'all being patient. We're going to get you on right now. Drew, if this is you again. Caller from the 732, you are live on the air with Mega Powers Radio. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Damn it, it is me. I thought you had my number. It's 765, you asshole. Get it right. This is how Drew White calls into the show, bitch.
Wait, so who is 732? Was 732
it's not me,
you as well?
Motherfucker.
Oh, whoever 732 is, I'm sorry. Please call in again.
Especially if you want to say that RVD sucks.
What was that, Tony?
I said especially call in if you want to say that RVD sucks.
Damn it, the first one wasn't me. I swear to God.
Wow. You don't do a very good impression, Drew. I'm sorry.
I'm not doing that fucking impression.
All right, we're going to try this one more time. Caller from 732, you're live on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. What's your name and where you calling from?
Motherfucker.
Caller from 732.
See, it's not even my fucking fault at this point. Everyone's like fucking with you. That's not me. I swear to God, it's not even me.
All right. Well, if it is someone actually genuinely dialing in, we're not hearing you. We apologize. Check something might be wrong with your phone. But please, you know, feel free to try again later on if you get that figured out. We're going to move the conversation along here. Going back to the top of the show, we had a couple matches featuring each one of the Usos against each one of the Wyatt brothers. We're not really brothers, but whatever. The most notable thing about this is that the Wyatts came out with a new theme song, and it's this really Bayou version of "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." And I know everyone's gonna hate on it being a harmonica, but I'm gonna go ahead and correct y'all. I don't believe it is a harmonica.
I thought it was what's the one thing that they play?
Banjo.
No. Banjo. Drew thinks it's an accordion.
An accordion, yeah.
And I actually almost thought it was an accordion at first, but the instrument it is called a harmonium.
What the fuck is that?
It's a bellows instrument, so it's similar to an accordion, but it has more of a tangy sound to it. Not the best choice. They should have just did a regular harmonica, and I don't know. I'm not digging it either. I think the idea is cool of having just this single instrument doing "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," but it almost sounds like they're playing it on a kazoo. It sounds stupid. So
I couldn't even tell it was that song. I thought if they were gonna do it, since they're from the South, play it on like a banjo or something that's relative to where they're from or something. Like I thought they were from Italy. Oh, they're on Venice, you know. Oh, just swimming in the fucking ocean, you know.
Oh,
yeah, GF Money fucked up too many themes, so they brought Edge back with the kazoo.
apologies to caller from 732. I know you were just trying to listen. Obviously, I should have figured that out because the question mark wasn't next to your name. My bad. Thank you for tuning in. I won't hang up on you this time, but Drew, you're getting this one.
That's an angry one. God damn it, Mo.
I hate my dad, Mo.
Angry Seth Rollins.
Well, let's go around and get your guys' thoughts about the Wyatt's new theme song, and if you have anything to throw in about this match or the fact these guys can be facing each other at Money in the Bank. Miguel, why don't you start us off, man?
Sorry about that.
Actually, that's all I got to say. Never mind.
Yeah, I know it's starting now, and apparently we got to pull double duty after this. But in terms of the Wyatt's new music, it was a bit jarring. It's hard not to think, you know, why change what was working already. I'm willing to bet they're doing it because they're going to start maybe phasing Bray Wyatt, not so much out of the Wyatts, but they're going to start making it more his thing than anything else. Kind of the same way that they gave Roman Reigns most of the look of the Shield as opposed to everybody else. I don't think it's a bad song. I think it works. It's very low key, very creepy. It was just a bad way to introduce it at first, but I think as it keeps going, I might be able to, you know, I think it's something you got to grow into. So I'm willing to give it another shot. In terms of the matchup, it is what it is. I mean, we see these guys wrestle almost every week.
It was
so
a match.
It was a match, basically.
you know what the worst part about how they introduced it was? The damn commentators. Friggin' Jerry Lawler was like, what is it? And Michael Cole's like, I don't know. It's like something out of Phantom of the Opera. I don't think Michael Cole's ever seen Phantom of the Opera. That's like this loud pipe organ, which sounds absolutely nothing like what was being played there.
What are these? What are these notes and keys being played in the air? It's called music, Michael.
What? It's like dubstep. What is this? Drew, what'd you think about
this?
Shut
up, Michael.
Well, apparently this was a match, but you guys already fucking took what I was going to say.
Come up with something better than Drew.
Well, it's called Come Up With Your Own Fucking Thing, Miguel. Anyways, fuck, dude, I didn't even watch.
In Miguel's defense, I actually said that, Drew.
Well, okay, then it's okay. Fuck you, Miguel. Anyways. Ha ha ha, kiss my dick. Anyways, I don't really care. I didn't watch the match. I got turned off after the fucking music played.
Wow. All right, Steven, what'd you think about it?
I actually like the music, so I don't know. I felt it separated them from Bray Wyatt and gave them their own appeal. So, I like a bit of a variety. As far as the matches go, I kind of like that they each, both teams got one win over the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it adds a little bit of heat, which was lacking to their feud. So it's nice, and I hope that the Wyatt family end up taking the win.
I'm just saying, Harper was the one who won. I'm just saying.
I'm saying you're right. Roman sucks.
Mango, why don't you finish us off on this topic?
I knew that some of the music's been terrible lately, and WWE's got some budget cuts, but Jesus Christ, you could do better than one dude with a fucking accordion.
You think it was actually CFO money? You think CFO money actually wrote down that track?
Okay, Christian, I know you got a concussion, but we need you to do something.
Maybe they actually got Jimmy Hart back involved. Or no, it's probably Hillbilly Jim.
No, if it was Jimmy Hart, it would just be a ripoff of some song that's out there right now.
Nah, touche. Well, we had our Divas matchup of the night. It was between Alicia Fox and Naomi. We had Cameron on commentary along with Paige, and this was atrocious. Paige got like maybe 5 words in the entire time. Cameron just kept going on and on and on like a little bratty valley girl. Totally turned me off to her, which I'm guessing was the point. It looks like Cameron's going to be going into a heel shift while Naomi is going to be becoming a little bit of a star. I'm assuming this is heading towards a Naomi-Paige matchup where I think Naomi could possibly have a shot, but more than likely I think we'll see Cameron cost her the match and have a little feud between those two while Paige continues her reign going on as long as it needs to go. But we'll get your thoughts with that. Tony?
You don't give a fuck.
You don't give a fuck. Steven?
This was a match. I was not a fan of the commentary, and I don't really rate Paige that well on the stick anyway, so the match was okay for a Divas match, but this whole segment was kind of bleh.
Miguel?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but they are going to have a matchup at Money in the Bank. They announced it on the show. They are having a title matchup. It's Naomi versus Paige.
Did they say that during the segment? Because I definitely could not decipher it through all the other nonsense that was going on.
I believe they announced it later in the show that they announced that they are having a matchup, because I just went on the Wikipedia page and it says that they announced that it's going to happen. And I do remember seeing a graphic for it. So
it's Wikipedia, must be true.
Yeah, it popped up on the screen and they went, this is a match. And that was all.
And yeah, in terms of the actual segment itself, an above average Divas matchup ruined by awful commentary. Like, the matchup wasn't terrible. It was what it was, but that commentary just dropped it down like several degrees. Like Steven said, there was nothing to it. It was just a bunch of bratty comments back and forth. It is what it is. It's an unfortunate black eye on what was essentially an okay matchup. But Alicia Fox and Naomi can work pretty well in the ring, I think.
I'm glad you brought that up. I completely glossed over that. They actually did have a pretty decent matchup, and you didn't even notice because of all this trash going on. Especially Naomi. I think Naomi looked especially good in this segment. But Tony, now that you're back, what'd you think about our Diva segment?
I thought the most interesting part about it not only was the fact that Naomi did look pretty well in this, but Lawler mentioned something that I was like, wow, he never does this. The two of them are bickering back and forth, and I think it was Cole said, oh, I can't get a word in edgewise. And Lawler goes, hey, haven't you spent any time with women? And then he immediately goes, that was pretty sexist of me to say. Like, wow, Lawler, the dude who was like –
I totally missed that.
I bet Cameron and Paige probably shot him a look, and he was like, oh.
Probably just like, fucking really, dude? Like, you're still going on about puppies and stuff, and you're going to say this? Awesome. Like, oh, those women never shut up, huh? Like,
have any of you guys seen that picture that just got put up on Twitter of Lawler checking out Paige as she was standing up from announce table?
But I would not be surprised.
It's on there, right? I think Paige even tweeted it out herself.
And he's probably like, oh, well, you only look about 15.
He's like, what are you, like 21 now or something? Ah, you're too old. And you probably don't shut up either. I'm glad that they're going with Naomi instead of Cameron, too, because, man, Cameron would just suck at that. Cameron seems to be better on the mic than Naomi does, so they sort of both filled different roles in this segment. Which was good. So, I mean, why not? They needed to move away from Alicia Fox, And you might as well have Alicia Fox take the pinfall because you can't trust Rosa to have a fucking match, can you?
Can we all admit how stupid that Alicia Fox thing was now?
I still thought that it was entertaining.
Yeah. I think the first part of it was fantastic, and then it got kind of silly or it got old.
All right, well, let's move on to the Bo Dallas match of the night. He took on Titus O'Neil, who, after looking like a total jackass on SmackDown with two successive losses to Adam Rose, he comes out here and he also loses to Bo Dallas. And Bo Dallas was on his game. Now, I don't even care about the match, but his pre-match promo, he's like, "You fell off the horse and then got back on and then fell off again." But the best is when he goes to give, like, his post-match pep talk to the person who lost. Titus knocks the mic out of his hand, out of the ring, and Bo, like, goes out, picks the mic up. He's like, "Oh, silly me and my buddy Butterfingers."
My buddy fingers.
Bo Dallas is just winning me over more and more every week. I am loving this gimmick. And another one that I think people are shitting on, saying, "Oh, it'll never rise up to the ranks." Bullshit. I think enough of this reality area bullshit. Everyone doesn't have to have normal names of people you meet on the street and just come out in plain black trunks. I'm sick of it. I love these characters that we're finally getting again. And they don't need to be super cartoony like Earthquake or Mantar or anything, but you can still have like a little shtick to what you are and be awesome. And Bo Dallas, Bad News Barrett, both prime examples of this modern era being able to do that. Go ahead and get your guys' thoughts about tonight's performance by Bo Dallas. Miguel, why don't you start us off?
He just takes this gimmick and runs with it, and that's why I love this gimmick to death, because at no point does he ever phase from it. Like, he knows what he is and he plays it to a T. It's glorious. I really get a kick out of him anytime I see him in the ring. I can't say anything better about it. The only thing, honestly, I can say is, and I heard this from another podcast, I would love to see him add a submission move to his repertoire where he actually tells the opponent not to quit.
I think it's a potential thing you could throw in there at some point. They gave his finisher a new name tonight. They used to call it the Bow Dog, and now they call it, like, Lightning Bow or something.
I'm just wondering what submission moves you can stick the word bow into. The ST bow, that's it. No, that's Cena's move. Never mind.
The figure bow?
It's a bit clunky.
The Boston Crab.
Yes, that's it.
There you go.
Do it.
Drew, what'd you think about Mr. Bo Dallas tonight?
It was cool.
Thank you, Drew. Steven, right. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm loving the Bo Dallas character, but is he a heel or face now?
Yes.
Just enjoy it. I don't think it matters at this point.
I know it doesn't matter. I'm just wondering if they noticed he was getting a face reaction and decided just to stick him against heels. I'm not sure what they're doing with him, but
I think they just ran out of baby face jabronis. Now they had to try out the heel jabronis.
Yeah, they're probably like, it doesn't matter. They all suck.
Here's the thing. The moment WWE thinks that question, they're going to get rid of everything that was good about him and just make him a generic this or that. He's either going to heal you to be a generic heel or a generic babyface. So as long as WWE doesn't know, I'm fine with that, because this guy is really winning it for me.
I like this character because it's something that comes right out of our sense of humor, where it's fucking retarded. And that's why I'm getting into this now. I still don't think it's got legs to run long term. I think it'll fizzle out eventually. And where Bo Dallas lies after that, I don't know. But I say, whilst he's getting hot, stick him in a program and stick him quick.
I think this is one of those great Attitude Era gimmicks in that there's so many degrees you can take this. Like I said before, I want to see him write like a Bo Dallas book or have like Bo Dallas followers or something. Like, you can go in such ridiculous over-the-top directions with it that, yeah, it's probably never going to be a main event gimmick, but he can ride this thing for like another few more years if you're creative enough.
There's no shame in being a high-caliber mid-card star.
Look at Santino.
Yeah. Santino now ain't doing so well, but he had a pretty lucrative career for a number of years.
Zack Ryder was doing fine until WWE, you know, put his career in.
I don't think anybody wants to be Zack Ryder. that's not someone you should strive to be. Any aspiring wrestlers out there, look to be Bo. Do not look to be Zack. Look to be Bo.
Yeah.
Mango, wrap us up on this.
I'm loving it so much. I think it's got so much potential in the future. I don't know if his stature is something that's going to end up being in the way, but...
You're talking about his skinny fatness?
Yeah. The fact that he looks the way that he does might hurt him, but
I think
character...
it helps. Like, this guy is supposed to be, like, this overachieving motivator, and yet he's got, like, bitch tits. I think it's great.
Yeah, I was sitting with a casual fan today again, and I got one of those weird, like... comments on Bo Dallas, and she was like, "Aw, he's cute. He's like a puppy with special needs."
Speaking of submission moves, you've got the Texas Bovereleaf. You can do the bow and arrow hold and just get rid of the W.
Here comes Mr. Shitty Puns getting them all out here.
I got one more. The Bobra Clutch.
I was about to say that.
I would love to see all of them. He's fucking awesome. And Titus O'Neil's not doing shit, so you might as well have him lose. Doesn't matter if he's babyface or not.
It's his time to lose. All right. Well, we had a match with Seth Rollins and Rob Van Dam, two competitors in the Money in the Bank matchup for the briefcase. Dean Ambrose interferes. What was... God, I have nothing to add to this match. And do you guys have anything to add to this? Otherwise, we'll just skip it.
Dude, RVD had more to say than just his name in that promo, bro. Really.
That was kind of cool.
That was fucking overachieving right there. He didn't do anything else the whole fucking rest of the night. I was just like, shit, RVD, good job, buddy. No, you just go home now. You're, you know.
Quit take a vacation, man. You must have, like, really overworked yourself for that.
Yeah, shit. That probably, like, took more effort than it did the past 10 matches that you wrestled.
I think what happened is normally he has, like, a cue card that says Rob Van Dam on it, so he knows what to say, and someone took it, so he just, like, spit it, winged it, and he came out with that.
He forgot his line. Like, oh, but what's the thing I always say? Oh, God damn it.
I love how part of what he said, though, was all just like, dude. How stereotypical can you get? What's up, man? Dude. This is awesome.
Anything else anyone wants to add?
Dude.
I like the slow build that they're doing between Rollins and Ambrose. They're not giving us that matchup immediately, so this is what it was. It could have been better given the guys in the ring, but it was what it was for a Raw matchup.
We got an unexpected Intercontinental title match tonight. Bad News Barrett defending it against Dolph Ziggler. Bad News Barrett comes out. He does his usual bad news speech. Something about racism. I didn't catch the whole thing, and it was funny because I was actually having an argument over someone about racism in wrestling at this time.
You were arguing with me. Actually, it was during the Seth Rollins matchup. That's why I didn't catch the matchup, to be quite honest with you.
I had, like, one comment with you. There was this other guy. It's the old argument about why there hasn't been a black WWE champion. We've been over this 100 times. It's
and there's been an English
stupid.
One.
It's because of Big E's pecs.
Oh, I we can take care of this. I'll call Paul.
Anyway, Bad News Barrett gets the victory in this with a pinfall victory, cementing himself stronger going into this Money in the Bank matchup, at the least still as a strong Intercontinental champion. You guys got anything you want to add to that?
I was eating boneless wings at B-Dubs at this time. That was pretty good.
Boneless wings?
This match was fucking awesome.
It was a pretty awesome match. Spanned two segments, I'm pretty sure. Gave it a lot of time.
They gave him a lot of time, and they made sure to show off. I was like, oh, random Intercontinental Championship match. That's prestigious. And then they had that match, and I'm like, well, fuck, way for me to eat my words.
Well,
so,
did anyone actually think Dolph Ziggler stood a chance?
No.
I didn't.
No, but I tell you what, the fucking finish of that match was cool as hell. When he ran at Wade Barrett in the corner, and he fucking pulled the ball hammer out. It's one of those moves that you can hit out of nowhere, and it just looks fucking sweet, especially when a guy like Ziggler sells it.
I just love the cheesy, like, setup for it where he reverses his elbow pad. Like, it's just cool when you come up with a little gimmick like that to set up your finisher.
Yeah, it might be cheesy, but every time he does it, I'm like, oh,
you're
gonna do it.
There you come.
He's gonna say boom.
I believe the racism thing was about the Washington Redskins, by the way.
Oh, fuck, who cares about that? Who cares?
Like, everybody?
No, only Native Americans do. I think it's stupid at this point. Pointless argument.
I guess
Tom,
who cares?
I didn't catch the promo. I thought when he was mentioning when he was saying about football, I thought he was making like a World Cup joke or something. Like, way to be topical, Vince.
Well, fuck, I didn't even hear it. Did you know while Dolph Ziggler was coming out, I had to explain that to people I was with that he's gonna come out and shake his ass for a second, and they thought it was fucking stupid. I'm like, yep, it's wrestling for you. What are you gonna do? What are you going to do?
You had to explain him shaking
WWE
his
title.
Yeah, exactly.
You had to explain him shaking his ass for a little bit, but you'd have to explain the Vicky Guerrero segment.
Dude, no, I was looking down. I was eating my food. I looked up and I saw the Vicky Guerrero thing. I'm like, yeah, see, this is something I couldn't explain, even if I knew what was going on. Because when I saw it, because I didn't hear that it was a whatever type of match it was, I just saw people come out and then people being thrown in a mud pit. I was kind of like, yeah, see, even if I could explain it to you, I couldn't, because this is one of the things that, like, you don't talk about when it comes to wrestling. I would talk about Stephanie McMahon, though. She did look fine tonight. You were right about that, Mango. She looked fantastic.
Yeah, anyway, Dolph Ziggler versus Wade Barrett.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's actually move on to what we had next, was this fun little backstage segment where Goldust and Stardust get interviewed. Goldust in first. First off, Goldust has gotten a new jacket, which is a takeoff of Cody Rhodes' old jacket with the hood and the leather vest. I think that's really cool. It's more merging of the two characters with each other. And then Stardust comes in singing a song and leaves, and Goldust is like, finally, I'm the normal one. Really fun segment. But you guys got anything you want to throw onto that?
Sounds cool.
It's kind of ironic because earlier today I was looking at old WWE vignette promos, like intro promos for a lot of old stars, and I watched the first two Goldust vignettes that he did back in, like, I believe 95 or 96, and how great those were. If they go at it with that in that regard with Stardust and really get really creative with the character, I could see it really getting over.
Here's the thing. How do you do that? In 1995, you could really play up the homophobia in society. Now there's a massive march for acceptance of gays and transgenders and all that in society. Your gay marriage is becoming legal in more and more states. And if you have any sign of homophobia, you're automatically vilified by anybody else in the room. So they can't go that route. How else do you make this bizarre vibe with a guy like Stardust? And I'm not saying, like, necessarily saying that that's a question you got to answer. I'm just saying that's the idiom, or that's the problem that they're presented with here. And I think they're approaching it very well. I think they're finding that way to do it, which, props to them. Props to them and props to Cody for putting that together and pulling that off.
I do. Maybe I just need to wait till he starts getting his own voice. That's what I'm waiting for. Like, when he actually cuts his own promo, let's see where it goes from there. Because, I mean, Cody is not really known for being best on the stick, but, you know, we'll see what he can do with this character. I just want to see him get really creative with it in the same regard as it was with Goldust promos, but it might be just apples and oranges.
I'm just saying, the next evolution of Cody Rhodes, Bodie Bodes.
Might happen.
It's funny how he was on an episode of Smack Talk talking about how they could, like, be stealing each other's gimmicks and get into, like, a big brother squabble, and now he wears the jacket. It's happening.
Next up, you're going to see him with the mustache.
Is he just going to paint one on, or is he actually going to grow it out?
He should paint one on. I would not expect anything more than that.
Just all, like, black all over his face and then a gold mustache.
That'd be awesome.
Actually, it should probably be the other way around. Otherwise, he might be accused of doing blackface. Speaking of racism. Anything else anybody wants to add to this, though?
No. Creepy.
All right. This was not a match.
No, but what was a match is Jack Swagger versus Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston's back on Zeb's deportation list, and that's pretty much the biggest news out of this match. Jack Swagger wins with a Patriot lock, making him look stronger going into Money in the Bank, and Kofi Kingston look like a jabron. Anything else you want to throw in?
The best defense is a fence.
Yeah, it's a great job that Kofi Kingston's in this ladder match. Looks like a total legitimate contender right now, doesn't he?
His job out there was to flip around a lot and make himself look good for the matchup, in the sense that you know he's going to be able to just move around and do some stuff you've never seen before. And Kofi proved to me in this match that he can still do that to an extent, so I'm looking forward to his performance. I mean, it is what it is. He's there basically to be a showman. He's a grinder, basically. He's there.
I liked him better when he had an accent.
You know what he is? He's a guy who's had a job. He's a guy who's had a job consistently for a number of years.
Yeah, at this point, I got to that point with Dolph Ziggler. I'm like, they're not going to do much with him, but he still puts on good matches. He's got, you know, some security there. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, he does have a job. He does it every night.
He does all the jobs.
His job is to count the lights in the ceiling, right?
Zing.
Speaking of zingers, backstage we come to Renee Young looking beautiful. She introduces Del Rio looking stupid. Eventually, Del Rio is interrupted by Paul Heyman and Cesaro. Paul Heyman does his Paul Heyman shtick. Del Rio makes a jab at Cesaro saying, "Hey, why don't you ever talk?" And Cesaro delivers my favorite zinger of the entire night. "Yeah, I don't need to speak because I only speak 5 languages and none of them is the one you do. Loser." Great, great comeback by Cesaro and making him look strong with just one line, which is better than I think they made Swagger look with his match. So, awesome for Cesaro. You guys got anything you want to throw in about Heyman, Cesaro's, or Del Rio, and even Renee, for that matter?
Fuck Del Rio.
Why is Del Rio in the main event matchup? Like, can we pull an audible and just switch him with Bad News Barrett and throw him into the contract matchup? I'd be fine with that. I don't know about you.
Or just pull him out and have him lose to Sin Cara.
They should just have that every week.
I know.
That could be like the traveling circus. Del Rio loses to Sin Cara. You could even like give it away. Like have that be on the advertisement. Del Rio will lose to Sin Cara.
But they got to make it exciting each week. Like one week it's like a fucking banana peel, or the next week they got some other stupid skit. Make it an event for the whole family.
I got 2 notes here for this segment. One, great comeback from Del Rio, just getting bug-eyed and mumbling nothing to himself. Fantastic. That really shows that you're a tough guy. Getting channeled by Taz here. And one thing that I really, really liked was, and I don't know if this is Renee's idea or if they told her to do it, but they've gotten into this habit for years now where somebody holds, you know, the microphone out, the person talks, and then the camera pans slightly off and it just goes and sticks on the interviewer while they're like watching the person leave and they look like, interview over. And it's this like horrible way to end all these interviews that they do. But tonight they actually had Renee turn around and just go like, "Well, you know, that's what they have to say about that. Let's get back to the show." Fucking great. Just keep doing that. No, you don't have to do it verbatim. Like, you don't have to have every time Michael Cole goes to a commercial as SmackDown rolls on and everything.
"Hi, I'm a person and I can do better."
At least acknowledge the fact that, like, this was the interview. The interview's over. Back to you guys. They do it in every other possible news anchor position in the world. Yet for WWE, for some reason, all you have to do is, like, look like you're pondering what just happened and stare off into the sunset. So I hope that they don't fucking, stop doing what they did tonight. Just keep doing it for the future and keep having Renee Young out there. She's hot.
Just another reason why Renee Young is the best thing going in announcers right now.
Damn straight.
They probably didn't trust Josh Matthews with an extra line.
You're going to see a tweet on the Scoop Twitter. Sources say that Renee Young is in the doghouse now for trying too hard during her segment.
Renee Young's trying to get herself over. This is bullshit.
Hey, we should report it. We can be like WrestleZone.
this was an interesting matchup here. It was Big E versus Abraham Lincoln. Ugh. Honest Abe, which was
this almost made me want to crack open another Seagram's. I'm just going to say that out loud.
Poor Damian Sandow continuing his weekly shtick, which, again, we can say at least the guy's on TV and he has a job, but I will say this guy deserves better. And he's doing very good. I have to say, if someone has to go out there as Honest Abe, he's going out there and he's selling it. But it's just I want better out of the guy, and it's a typical argument you hear for these things. You hear it with Drew McIntyre, you hear it with Kofi Kingston sometimes. I'm gonna go ahead and throw it out for Damian Sandow. But Big E gets the victory here. Then he starts talking like a black preacher about the country. I don't know what the hell he was trying to do there, and he gets attacked by Rusev, and that's the segment. Yep.
So.
Never been so happy to hear Rusev interrupt someone.
Who knew that Big E was fucking Devon?
Yeah, you beat me to it. You know,
that or he's Malcolm X.
Big E, you had one job.
Look, I'll say this. I think last week's segment with Rusev and Reigns proved that Rusev is over enough to where they can give him actual opponents. And I think that's where Big E falls in. I mean, they're not really doing much with him, but it's still an attraction. I mean, you've got these two big, larger-than-life characters out there. You know, if they give these guys enough time to really jawjack with each other, this could be built up to something decent. I mean, when was the last time we really had a mid-card feud like this? I could see this really being something that could carry – and maybe not carry a main event to a pay-per-view, but could be a nice little – it could be like the 9 or 10 o'clock, you know, main event to a pay-per-view.
You say a mid-card feud like this, you mean like Payback when they did this already?
Well, no, that was just the test run. But now that WWE knows that Rusev can carry his own, now you're going to see it really.
I don't think he can carry his own.
He was over during
how
that.
How was that the test run though? Last time there was actually had some build up. This week it was
an extra minute long. It was an extra minute longer than usual. Come on. How about Heath Slater? Was he on tonight?
No, Heath Slater was not there tonight.
Come on. I wanted to see face Heath Slater.
I'm with Miguel, though, and I think the thing he was going to say was that Battle Royal at the end with Roman Reigns, people were loving both of them going at each other.
So I don't know. I think it was more Roman Reigns than people loving. I don't know. I don't remember much.
No, you don't.
I don't.
No. Was it a match, Drew?
It was a match.
All right. Great.
I know that much.
Look, it takes two to tango in this business, and I think that people were just as excited to see Rusev in there as they were Reigns, and
they were
I think this is where you're going to start seeing them push more credible guys onto him. And Big E, you know, Big E's a former Intercontinental Champion. He's huge. He can really hold his own against him. You know, it reminds me of a lot of like when Warrior took on Hercules in that regard.
Zack Ryder used to be a U.S. champion, but no one gives a fuck about that.
Go ahead, Peyton. I'm not getting anywhere with this. You can move on.
I just don't even want to talk about Big E and Rusev, so we'll just move on anyway. Our main event of the night was a 4-on-3 handicap match with all the Money in the Bank participants in it, babyfaces versus the heels. And the thing that really annoys me about this is that they had this matchup on SmackDown this past Friday, and now that I'm paying more attention to the results for the Fantasy League results again, I'm really noticing how often they do this. Where not only on SmackDown do you have to watch replays of that past week's Raw, but they also have like test matches for what they're going to have on Raw that week. So how could like they possibly expect people to watch both shows and not get burnt out of seeing the same thing over and over and
question.
Over?
Maybe
who won on SmackDown? Same team?
I believe so, yes.
You believe so?
I believe so.
I don't know. Maybe they just know no one watches SmackDown. It's like, hey, why don't we just do this for test rounds and shit?
Well, to be fair, he does the results for the Fantasy League and he doesn't know.
No, I'm pretty sure the babyfaces won.
Both times? Cool.
Both times. I think Roman Reigns got the pin on SmackDown though.
Wait, who got the pin? I was driving home.
Sheamus got the pin tonight.
Oh well, both on my team. Nice. Doesn't fucking matter. Let's go. GG.
What did you guys think about the match though? I actually think as far as main event standards on Raw, this is at least a little bit above average. It wasn't completely offensive, and everyone looked strong. Roman Reigns especially looked like an absolute beast, and I think would make him the easy favorite for the Money in the Bank matchup on Sunday. But what do you guys got to add to it?
You say everyone looks strong. The team with an extra member on it didn't win.
Yeah, but the team that was short had John Cena, Roman Reigns, and Sheamus on it.
Doesn't matter to me. I hate that fucking thing. If there's an extra guy on your team and you're all meant to be main event caliber guys, then you should be dominating over the smaller team.
Randy Orton leave?
I didn't even see him leave. Wow. That's how much I don't notice Orton.
Yeah, I think Randy Orton abandoned him at some point.
Then that makes more sense then. But did he leave on SmackDown too?
I don't think so.
All right, I'll bitch about that match instead.
It was, you know, it was one of those endings to where everybody got to hit their finisher, so it was so quick I didn't even notice that the smaller team won. It just kind of came and went. So I'm all right with it, and you know, we did get some extra bit of news after that, so I don't think the matchup was anything but a time filler to lead to the inevitable reveal of the Eighth Man.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even mention that. Kane comes out after the match, cleans house, just kicks everybody's ass there. Triple H comes out and announces Kane is going to be the Eighth Man in the Money in the Bank, meaning that match with him and John Cena last night was worthless. Waste of time.
Okay, so
Time out. Which one is he in?
He's in the title match.
Oh, okay.
Well, I have someone else to bitch about. Why can't anyone jump for a fucking chokeslam other than John Cena? Fucking chokeslams look weak as hell. In addition to that, one other thing that bothered me is Randy Orton's in this six-man ladder match, or eight-man, or whatever it is, and Kane's just been announced as the last member. Didn't seem remotely bothered.
Well,
if that seven-foot burnt fuck was in my match, then I'd be a little upset.
Yes, my impression is that him and Triple H worked out a deal where Kane is into this match to watch Randy Orton's back, And I think that might be revealed on SmackDown or at some point on the actual Money in the Bank show. But I definitely see that backfiring and Kane eventually going into business for himself. Like, Randy Orton will be in the ring, like, trying to give him commands, and Kane will be like, no, fuck you, and chokeslams him.
But you can see why I think it's dumb.
No, absolutely. When I first saw it, I was like, why is Randy Orton standing next to Triple H? Like, he's not upset that the Kane is in the match. And I'm thinking, like, oh, you know, Randy Orton is the golden boy. Maybe Triple H is going to look out for him.
Did you just say the Kane?
Did I?
Yeah, I think you almost said demon. I that's probably why you're like, the. I'm not going to say that. Kane.
I prefer it than corporate Kane or demon Kane. I'll just...
It's gotta be the Kane.
I'm in full Mike Adamley mode tonight. It's great. Well, what do you guys think of our events tonight? Kane being revealed as another member in this matchup.
I've been saying for a while that it doesn't make any sense that Kane isn't in the Money in the Bank match. And when they announced all the other people in the other match tonight, the very last thing that I had written down on the Smart Count Moment predictions was, I still don't fucking get why Kane is not in this, because it makes no sense. If you're supposed to believe that the Authority wants people like Seth Rollins and Randy Orton and everybody to win these matches, Kane should not sit out. I mean, logic doesn't have the best place in professional wrestling, but you should still try. So adding him into the match makes perfect sense to me. And match, we've talked about it before. Sometimes we're a little bit spoiled when it comes to matches on Raw. Mm. We used to get matches that were this quality, if not worse, on average. So considering everything else that happened tonight and how we already had a fantastic match with Ziggler and Barrett, this was okay.
Listen, we all know what the main event of the first Raw was, right?
What was it? Was it Max Moon or something, right?
No, I believe it was Undertaker versus Damian Demento, I believe.
That is it.
So I think Shawn Michaels actually took on Max Moon.
Yeah, but it's old wrestling, so therefore it's better automatically. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, it was pre-Attitude Era, so no, it wasn't as good as you think.
Yeah, that space in between the territory days and the Attitude Era, nothing good happened there.
Yeah.
Never mind that it was at its boom with Hulkamania, but whatever.
Oh, you mean the guy that led the NWO? Oh, that was awesome.
Any other thoughts about this main event before we start wrapping things up here?
Shut up, Drew.
Drew, anything to add? Drew?
Well, it worked.
Drew?
Nah, that ain't me, though.
All right, let's do our good, bad, and ugly for tonight's Raw. Yes, it is time for us to do our good, bad, and ugly from tonight's show, where we talk about what we thought was the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most embarrassing part of the show. Let's get started with Mr. Drew White. What was your good, bad, and ugly?
Well, apparently I missed everything good when I was out eating, so I can't give it good. My bad is going to be the intro music of the Harpers, as I apparently call them. And the ugly...
It might as well be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ugly is going to be, as much as I kind of liked it, I'm going to have to give it the, I don't even know, fuck the, whatever Vicky Guerrero fucking did. I don't know. I guess her good would be the Eddie Guerrero music. That's going to be my good, actually. The bad will be the pit of shit.
You're not going to put the boneless wings as a good?
The boneless wings? Ah, dude, my boneless wings was good. Miguel, if you were there, I would have given you maybe one.
you're very kind, Drew.
Actually, I'm just kidding. Fuck you.
All right, Miguel, why don't you rebuttal at Drew and then also give us your good, bad, and ugly?
No, I'm not gonna waste my time with Drew anyway.
Not about that life.
Yeah, I ain't about that life. The good I'd probably say was the Bo Dallas segment. I'm loving this guy every single time I see him in the ring. The bad would probably be the Abe Lincoln segment. As you said, Sandow deserves a lot better. Even with security's sake, he should not be. This shouldn't be an every week thing, is what I'm trying to say. And the ugly was the commentary during the Divas matchup that ruined a pretty decent matchup.
All right, Mr. Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
I wanted to say good for Wade Barrett and Dolph Ziggler just because they put on one hell of a match, but I'm going to give it to Vicky Guerrero send off because I just really appreciate what they did, letting her go off in a positive light.
and that was really cool on their part. As far as the bed goes, it's going to be the Divas match. Not an easy one, but it was especially bad tonight with all the bickering, and it wasn't necessarily a bad match, but the segment blew. Ugly. If someone walked in and went, is that Abe Lincoln wrestling? Yeah, that's Abe Lincoln wrestling, a guy with tits. Yeah.
Now, what was worse, the time they had Abe Lincoln wrestle or the time they had Barack Obama wrestle?
America.
About on par, but it's going to be ugly. If I struggle for an ugly, I just have to say the Damian Sandow segment each week at this rate.
Wait, who did Rosie O'Donnell wrestle?
Donald Trump.
Shit.
I still say my all-time most embarrassing was when I had to explain to my little sister why Alberto Del Rio ran over Santa Claus.
Oh, goodness. Miguel, you're good, bad, and ugly?
I already gave it.
Oh, you already gave it. Mango, I'm sorry.
First off, something Miguel, you should have used that opportunity and been like, that's why I'm not getting you anything for Christmas this year. let's see. My good, I got a tie. The Vicky Guerrero stuff and the Ziggler and Barrett match. Both of them were just awesome, so I couldn't really pick. Bad, Wyatt Family Music. Awful. Fuck. If you did that CFO money, you should be fired. Ugly, I, for a while, thought I was going to end up giving it to Michael Cole's checkerboard suit. Because that was really, really ugly looking. But it's got to go to the Big E, Rusev, Damian Sandow, Malcolm X, Putin stuff. I just hate this Rusev shit that's been going down. It sucks for Sandow. Big E is looking like a jackass. Everybody just looks stupid here.
Except for Rusev, who looks like a potato.
That's true. Well, he looks like a stupid potato.
We didn't get our potato joke of the weekend yet, so couldn't go off the air without that. I'm going to take a couple good, bad, and uglies from the chat room. JT77 saying his good was the Ring of Honor pay-per-view last night. I really need to check that out. I've heard lots of good things. Bad, the Damian Sandow segment, and ugly, the pool of stuff. What, I don't know what stuff he could possibly mean.
I don't know, but apparently, according to the announcers, it smelled awful.
A little like caramel.
That was one big pile of shit.
But then they're trying to say it's mud. Mud doesn't particularly smell bad. So I don't know what their deal is.
That was one big pile of shit.
I kind of feel like eating chocolate after seeing
it. Yeah, I thought it was pudding too.
It looked like Delta Hershey bars. And
that water. Fucking probably was.
That water was clean until Seth Rollins took a bath in it.
And winner! Awesome Piano Man saying the good was JTG being in the chat room. The bad is that he's still watching the main event, and ugly him because he forgot Miguel in the shoutouts. Thank Miguel for your contributions to the show.
I don't know how authentic that is, but I'll take what I can get.
Oh, Awesome Piano Man's a good guy. I'm sure it was completely genuine.
Yeah, he's like Drew, but not an asshole.
And my good, bad, and ugly for tonight. My good is, it seems to be a theme of not having things that are actually from the show, and mine it as well. Mine is as well. Mine is actually from a commercial that aired, wow, just completely fucking up, aired during one of the commercial breaks, and I forget what it was for, but it was like, oh, well, did you know that there is an oldest trick in the book? And they go back to, like, some Shakespearean times where the guy's like, first trick, looketh over there. Ha! Madest thou look.
Have you just it's been out for a while now?
It has
been like 4 months.
It has, but every time I see it, I crack up on it, and
it's a good one.
I just felt it was worth mentioning tonight. I love that commercial. The bad was absolutely the Abe Lincoln segment. What an atrocity for poor Damian Sandow. And ugly, speaking of atrocities, never ever put Cameron on commentary again. You know, it's one thing to have Paige there. She just wants to say one or two words and stay quiet for the most part. That's fine. And maybe scream at some point. That's even better. But no Cameron. Just let her sit in the back and watch Alicia Fox matches until the end of time. Well, she must have loved this. Sitting there watching Alicia Fox. I didn't even think about that. Sitting there watching one of her heroes. Must have been like a dream come true.
You know what would have been awesome? Every time that King says something sexist or just stupid like he always does, fucking have Paige scream in his face. It would be the best fit for him at the announce table.
I want James Cameron on commentary.
Okay. All right, well,
I don't get it.
He has misogynistic problems.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, I looked through all of his movies. He has like a thing about female leads.
Really? Looking at stuff like Aliens, Terminator, The Abyss. Oh, are you talking about like post True Lies, Cameron?
Well, yeah, True Lies when he was going through his divorce. I mean, pretty much every movie he's done, it's got like a big, strong female character lead.
Well, yeah. I know what the topic for the Unreal One-titled Thingy Club is.
I'm going to be doing a James Cameron retrospective sooner or later down the line, but I just got done doing a retrospective, so I can't really...
Well, the theme for the show has to be that song that South Park had for him.
Oh, yeah. I got to go find that, yeah.
The Unreal Thingy Show?
The Unreal Untitled and whatever. The Un-Miguel Show, whatever.
Well, speaking of, let's go ahead and do our plugs for the night. Drew, why don't you start us off, bro?
Just keep on listening to everything Mr. Payton does, because Mr. Payton is brainwashing all of you guys. Woof. Yeah.
Got a grievance there, Drew. You want to join my network?
Fuck, it's not your network. Fuck that.
Damn.
I'll join you for a show, though. If you ever have me on for a show, Miguel, as much as I give you shit on here, I do it out of love. So if you ever want to invite me on, I'll be on maybe every once in a while if you need someone.
I feel like we're having the roast again where we make fun of each other and then tell how much we love each other at the end.
Well, to be fair, Miguel missed out.
Yeah, Miguel missed it. So I kind of took...
Oh,
okay, I was
yeah. Miguel, if you wrote something for that, you need to read that at some point. Matter of fact, if you have it with you, you should read it right now.
No, I don't. I didn't write anything for it. I tried, but it's hard to make fun of Mango. Like,
they don't prepare for things like that.
All you have to do is call him. Why? You got to call Wago British. You got to make fun of Payton for being Payton. You just got to make fun of me for being Mr. Carter. It's not that difficult.
I don't write jokes. It just comes naturally. I go with the flow.
Wait. Weren't you the lead writer for a series once?
Wasn't that
I don't know. I haven't seen those episodes pop up on YouTube yet. It's been like 8 months since I've written that script.
Like, it took it and sold it, dude.
Wago, why don't you go next, man?
All right, check out udmma.com for all your mixed martial arts needs. That's udmma.com, twitter.com/udmma, facebook.com/udmma. Also, we'll have a date for the next episode of Addicted to Anime this week. It's going to be on Cowboy Bebop. And, yep, that's all from me. facebook.com/addictedanimefans.
Mr. Miguel.
All right, check out the Untitled Movie Show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We're going to be discussing vanity projects. On there, check out last week's show, which I did during the roast, obviously, as they mentioned, where we did a big episode on the Rocky franchise. So if you want to check that out, also check out last week's show. Tune into this week's show, 8 o'clock Tuesday night, blogtalkradio.com.
And Mr. Tony Mango, tell us what's up in your world.
SmartGoutMoment.com, as always, guys, youtube.com/SmartGoutMoment. You can also find the podcast Smack Talk on iTunes and Stitcher. Bleacher Report, I'll be posting stuff up as I usually do. Check out the article I had written before about with What Culture, FanboysAnonymous.com, OutOnLimbs.com, blah, 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 blah. You know it.
Blah, blah, blah. You know it. All right, folks, thanks so much for tuning in. If you had a good time, be sure to join us every single Monday night following the conclusion of Raw here on MegaPowersRadio.com for the most interactive post-Raw experience available. Thanks to everyone who was chatting things up in our chat room. Awesome Piano Man, JTG, Creepers on the Radars, Mr. Wago, and Drew White representing our crew. We also had our callers, JD and Robert, Awesome Piano Man as well. Appreciate everyone. We also got another caller on here. We never actually found out who you are, but you're just sitting there creeping, listening to us. We appreciate you tuning in as well. Appreciate everyone who also listens to us in the archive version available on smartgoutmoment.com. Also find it on iTunes and Stitcher. And also, I haven't plugged this one in a while. Please go on Facebook and join our official Facebook group. It's called The Mega Maniacs. It's facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs. That's where we'll be talking all throughout the week about our thoughts on what's going on in the wrestling world. We'll be posting things that we think are funny, videos, whatever we got going on in our mind. It's a good way to stay in touch with us all throughout the week. And with that, folks, I am going to bid y'all adieu. We have another episode of Smack Talk to record tonight. We're pulling some crazy-ass double duty, so be sure to pay attention to that show as well, because you'll probably be hearing us absolutely tired as hell. It'll be a unique experience. And for that, for Miguel Leon, for Drew White, for Steven Wago, and for Tony Mango, see you next time on the NPR Raw Post Show.